Kristen McQuarrie is here from the Chicago Tribune to help us digest the events of the day, what's going on politically. And as we said when you walked in, Kristen, there's really nothing to discuss this
nothing.
Time around.
You know, if you guys want to talk meatloaf recipes, right. Maybe we could do that.
I do need a new meatloaf recipe.
No, John Kasich is scheduled a press conference for 5 p.m. Where he is going to announce that he is suspending his campaign. I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah.
So now we're down to Trump as the presumptive nominee. I'm not even sure why they keep saying presumptive. I guess just in case. Presumptive. There you go. I like that.
See why I have Twitter?
Right. That'll get a billion
tweets. Take credit
tweets.
For it. Take credit for it. So, yeah, I mean, Trump won every county in Indiana yesterday except for five. Hillary Clinton did not do so well, so we still have this little surge. Bernie Sanders is, like, hanging on like a dog with a bone, even though the numbers just don't add up for him.
Was that surprising, those results? I mean, Cruz was expecting success in Indiana. What about Hillary?
I was surprised, actually, that Hillary did not do better. I didn't think that the progressive Democrats of Indiana were as to the left of you know, as Bernie Sanders is.
Yeah.
So I was surprised. She's moved on. She didn't spend any time campaigning there. So maybe that had something to do with it. And she's already focused. She's in Ohio now. She's focusing on the general. She's focusing on Trump. And so she's just kind of letting Bernie Sanders have this one last gasp. But he's done, you know.
He's making it uglier, though, now, isn't it? There's a bad side of Bernie Sanders coming out, just really talking, disgracing Hillary Clinton, which I didn't see really at the beginning.
But they all reached that level semi-desperation where they have to try something different. And maybe being that aggressive isn't their best answer, is it?
It's not. But I think when you're desperate to move numbers, that happens. I mean, look at what Donald Trump did Tuesday morning before the Indiana primary, trying to link Ted Cruz's father to Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right. Because in the Inquirer,
right.
Which was right about OJ. I'll give him that.
Yeah, they have been right about a couple of things, but the
Elvis's death, they were right about that.
Well, they also reported that Bruce Jenner and Elvis had a gay love affair.
Oh,
that
was
a recent cover.
I didn't know that.
That Hillary Clinton is dying of brain cancer, that OJ actually only has four more days to live.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I saw that.
So, I mean, they're not exactly the most reputable news source.
But what a great way, because we've seen Ted Cruz, especially when other people are attacking his wife, it's fine. But when he decks her, then it's a different story. But that's the best way to mess with Ted Cruz, is to pick on somebody close to him. So the timing on that was actually pretty good, wasn't it?
It got him fired up.
Yeah.
It sure did, because you're right. There was some criticism of his daughters who appeared in an early campaign ad. Boy, you saw Ted come out fighting. You saw a Texas side of him. And yeah, you don't go after his father. I mean, his father is, you know, a minister. So it's a little distasteful.
And his mom was assistant to Benito Mussolini. Most people know that, right? That's common knowledge at this point.
It is, right.
But why don't you just leave that alone? I feel like you give credence to it if you address it. Like, just go, this is... Instead, he's quoting wrong lines from movies. And, you know, if we could go back before you came in, Ted Cruz was talking about Biff Tannen from Back to the Future 3.
Oh, no.
Two.
I'm sorry, two. Yeah. Yes. I was shocked to know there was a three.
Yeah.
And we wondered if Biff Tannen actually did have a casino. And I need to clarify, he had the Biff Tannen's Pleasure Paradise Casino with a statue out front of himself in Back to the Future 2. And in Back to the Future 2, Biff got the idea to bet on sports from his older self by betting on the Cubs to win the World Series. And look what's going on right now.
Doesn't it all tie together?
Wow.
So Cruz is not that off.
Except that he called a basketball hoop a ring.
Yeah.
Basketball ring. So, you know, as soon as that happened, you're down for the count in Indiana. You can't get away with that.
What a bad state to whip out the wrong quote.
Yeah,
that
was unfortunate.
So embarrassing.
All right. I asked Steve Bertrand this, and we discussed it a little bit, but I would love to get your take. When one of the candidates makes the realization it's not going to happen, Ted Cruz did this yesterday, and John Kasich is about to do this today, what goes on behind the scenes? Is it a campaign manager who sits down in a room with just them and the candidate, or is it the candidate who comes in and says to everybody, look, we gave it our best, but it's not meant to be. How does that play out normally?
I think it's a combination. With John Kasich, some of the news reports are already saying that he was actually getting on an airplane this morning to fly out to D.C. for some fundraisers.
Yeah.
And he kind of just had this moment on his own on the plane and had the airplane turn around and taxi back to the airport. And he just called in a couple advisors and just said, my heart is not in this anymore.
Yeah.
And they said, if your heart's not in it, you got to get out. You can't devote this type of energy
right.
and resources and staff and all these people who need to get on with their lives. So I think it's a combination with Ted Cruz. He has had such a good ground game of knowing where he needed delegates. And when the math wasn't there, I think he too realized it's time to just move on.
Yeah. You're not shocked that he's not there, or he seems to not go, like he's not going to throw his support to Donald Trump. That's not a surprise, is it?
Well, it's early. You know, they had a pretty rough go of it in these past few weeks. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point Cruz comes around. I mean,
really?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely, I don't know what sort of credential he will hold, how much endorsements really are going to matter in the end. But
what's in it for him to do that? Why would he do that?
Because they honestly run all these months promising to unify the party. And what Ted Cruz doesn't want more than Trump to be president is for Hillary Clinton to be president. I mean, he is a policy-oriented guy. I think he takes issue with a lot of Hillary Clinton's policies. And the idea that he might be able to block her from getting into the White House would be enough for him to encourage his supporters to get behind Trump. There is a little talk of like a third party somehow emerging.
I thought it was too late.
I think it's too late. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you would do that with all of these states already holding primaries. But there's still some, you know, people who are the never Trump folks.
Yeah, right.
Who are talking about it. But I don't think it's very serious.
There's also some deal making that could be made. They could offer him some sort of a cabinet position if he's willing to give in and say that he's a supporter. Right. That's happened in the past, certainly.
Oh, sure. I mean, people still talk about him as a Supreme Court nominee. You know, we have this person that Obama chose, but the Senate won't hold hearings on him. And they're saying they won't until the next president is chosen.
Right.
So the next president will get to fill in the ninth slot on the U.S. Supreme Court. And there is some talk that, you know, if it were Trump, maybe he would select Ted Cruz. But sure, if it's not, you're laughing.
Think about that, though, with all the bad blood between those two guys. And we saw it yesterday, but we've been seeing it for months.
They were best buds for a little while.
For a short time, they were friends. They were cordial to each other. But then the true colors came out and they talked about how each one is a pathological liar and has come unhinged. And even with all that, one of them could say, that's the guy I want in the Supreme Court.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama had a really, they ran against each other in 2008, and he later made her the Secretary of State. So it can happen. And if there is a genuine interest in, you know, keeping Democrats out of the White House, they will come together at some point.
I'm sure this has been talked about, but what if Trump... When's Trump going to announce his running mate? What if it's Ted Cruz?
I don't think it would be Ted Cruz, but
you
never know.
Isn't that a smart move, though?
It could be. I mean, I'm one to believe that he needs, now that he's run as an outsider and been so successful, he actually needs to pick an insider as his VP, just like Obama did with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Longtime U.S. Senator, someone who knew foreign policy really well. I think that would maybe quell some of the fears of Trump if he chose someone who does know what they're doing inside the Beltway. As much as it might hurt him a little bit for choosing like an establishment Republican, I think he should.
But that would be a smart move because all the people who loved Cruz would then...
Marco Rubio people talk about too, because he gave up his Senate seat to run for president, and Cruz has not. He still gets to hold on to his Senate seat because he was in midterm. But people have mentioned Marco Rubio. That might be a smart choice if Marco Rubio is willing to do it.
Will we be able to hear Chris Christie's cries all the way here in Illinois when he is not named as the vice presidential nominee?
We will. We will be able to hear him moaning and crying and I don't see that being a wise pair up because, like I'm saying, I think Trump needs someone who knows D.C., and that would not be Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Why didn't Joe Biden just swoop in and save us all?
Well, maybe he's going to.
Too late.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, isn't it honestly too late? Could a third party come in right now and
the only way that that would happen is if something super dramatic happens, like Hillary Clinton gets indicted. And then at the convention, after that first round of voting, when something like that happens, then yes, you could see like a second round of votes. But that is, this is crazy talk. I mean, I don't
really, because look what's been happening. It's all been crazy talk. I want to know what foreign leaders are thinking right now after these results, that it looks like it's going to be Trump.
It's going to be Trump. I mean, this, the Senate chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is Bob Corker, a Republican from Tennessee. And he actually had good things to say about Trump's foreign policy speech. And if Trump does surround himself with people like that, maybe even in a running mate sense, I think a lot of this will calm down. But he's got a lot of work to do between now and November.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Kristen McQuarrie is here from the Chicago Tribune. If you'd like to jump in with questions or comments, 312-981-7200 is your best bet. It's us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Kristen McQuarrie is our guest from the Chicago Tribune. We're trying to make some sense, if we possibly can, out of the political climate that's going on right now. You have some facts about Donald Trump that we may not have known.
I do. It's a little quiz for you, Bill and Wendy.
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What is his middle name? Do you know Donald Trump's middle
name?
Donald
Careful.
Jeffrey James.
Is it Jerome?
John. It's John. Just John, not John.
Don John.
Donald John. Favorite ice cream? What would you guess would be Donald Trump's favorite ice cream flavor?
Ben and Jerry's Chubby Hubby.
Wow, you're really detailed. Cherry vanilla.
Oh.
You know, maybe that goes with like his red hair or something. I don't know.
Should have gone strawberry shortcake. That would have been a good flavor.
Yep.
Favorite food? What does he eat a lot?
Money.
From New York, I'm going to say Hungarian goulash.
Oh, my God.
Oysters.
Hamburgers,
really?
Hamburgers and meatloaf.
See? You need with the meatloaf recipe.
He's a regular guy
for
all
of
y'all.
Us.
I think
he's
eats like bonbons all day. But he doesn't eat, when he eats pizza, he only eats the topping. He will not eat the crust.
That's normal.
Trying to keep the weight off. Yeah, a lot of people are not doing the carbs.
I guess.
And so I have three true false questions.
All right.
Okay? Donald Trump loves Starbucks coffee.
I'd say false.
False.
It is false.
Yeah.
He doesn't drink coffee. He does not drink any caffeinated beverages.
Oh, my God. You and Donald Trump are exactly alike.
Yet another thing he and I have in common.
Well, the list grows.
Yep.
His favorite beer is actually Bud Light.
No. I know for a fact he has never had a drink. He doesn't drink.
Correct. He doesn't drink
just like
alcohol
Bill.
Either. My gosh.
How about that?
And he hates tea.
I'm going to say that's also false.
I'm going to say that's true.
It's true.
It is true.
I win. I win the new president.
Three out of three.
So no beer, no coffee, no tea.
No beer, no coffee, no tea. Nope. And he eats hamburgers and cheeseburgers.
All right. Explain this to me. Normally, if you knew who your front runners were for the Democrats and the Republicans, and we do right now, it's Hillary Clinton and it's Donald Trump. When they square off against each other in the debates, you say to yourself, well, that's where he will be exposed. Because if the debates are about policy, he doesn't seem to have any concrete policy. It's just kind of far-flung theories and stuff. So that'll be his downfall. However, because it's Donald Trump and the rules are different, it might not affect him at all, will it?
It might not. I mean, he's gotten kind of stung with some of those questions in the past.
Yeah.
But he manages to just pick himself up by saying, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to surround myself with really smart people who will. You know, and Hillary Clinton has not been very specific either. Now, when it comes to foreign policy, because of her previous positions, I expect she's going to clean the floor with him.
You would
and
think.
Catch him in some very uncomfortable moments, because he won't know a world leader, or he'll mix up the, you know, the tribal connections in Afghanistan or something. But he has been able to wiggle free from all of that type of criticism. So who are we to think that he won't be able to in the debates, too?
Are they going to have debates in Tanzania? Is that what he called it?
Instead of Tanzania.
Whoops. Yeah.
And here's another thing that I'm thinking about the debates. Trump seems to be smooth over everything. He does keep his cool. Not that he is nice. He gets mean and throws little... playground and schoolyard barbs at people.
Right.
But Hillary is going to, of course, the lying is going to come up.
Sure.
And then she's going to be defensive. And then her voice gets very scolding.
It does.
And I feel bad for her because I have that same problem. You can ask my kids and husband. But
you get,
I mean,
shrill. Like you just...
Not shrill, but it just, you sound so mean, but it's really hard when you're so emotionally involved in this and someone is accusing you of something. I just think that's going to be so interesting to watch.
It will be. I mean, she's... She does have sort of a capacity to be shrill, and I'm not
scolding.
Saying that. Scolding, yes.
And I'm, shrill. It's like a deep voice. Yes. I'm going to get you.
Yes. And I'm sure she has had
Hillary,
you know,
Clinton's
20 voice.
That was, like, was that you or was that Hillary Clinton who did that? I couldn't tell who that was.
It was Hillary. They just cut it. They cut the tape in.
Wow.
I'm sure.
But I feel bad for her for doing that. A lot of women, you know, and it's like sometimes being a woman in a man's world, you feel you need to defend yourself more. And you get kind of desperate in your talk,
right?
And defensive.
You don't. I know it's an awkward place to be a woman in this type of position because you don't want to sound too feminine,
right?
Or too high pitched, and so you see her constantly,
yes,
bringing her voice down.
Let the record show it's the two women on the air right now talking about it, not the
mm-hmm.
men.
Well, I
but
was
you guys
gonna
are
add,
thinking it.
I was going to add that it's not just, you know, Bernie Sanders' voice grates on me too. You know, it's not
especially
just
when he gets riled up.
Oh gosh, it's just like that hoarse, rough. It sounds like sandpaper. So
mm-hmm.
I've got plenty of criticism for people's voices on, you know, both men and
except
women.
For Trump.
Trump hasn't bothered me too much. In fact, my daughter, she's 10. She was sitting next to me on the couch when he was giving his victory speech last night, and she said, "You know, he's really nice. I don't know why everybody keeps saying he's so mean."
So what do you say to that?
Well, he was being nice last night.
Oh, at the moment,
he was,
yeah.
In the moment, he was, you know, praising Ted Cruz and just saying how wonderful America was going to be. And so in her mind, he's a nice guy.
Can I tell you something? Businessmen and women are like that. They're trying to seal the deal. They are nice and they can be really nice. And that's what he is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
When he needs to be.
Right.
When he wants to be and needs to be.
And can be very mean, which I bet a lot of business people are, you know.
Right.
In their own little office and not at the board table.
Yeah.
That defensiveness of his, though, he's going to need to chill out. You know, I mean, you can't be on Twitter every half an hour taking
blasting
somebody down when you are the Republican nominee for president of the United States.
Why not? I mean, he's been doing it and he's only been rewarded for it. Right?
I would say that if he really wants to win, he has to appeal to those independent swing voters. That is the patch of voters that he needs to appeal to, and they are not going to vote for someone who is so off the cuff. Because now he you know, up to now he's just appealing to Republican primary
sure.
voters. Now he's got to cross over, and I think it will be important for him to not be screaming on Twitter and not, you know, offering these sophomoric responses every time he's criticized.
Interesting. Kristen, thank you for being here. Always appreciated.
Thanks for having me.
Kristen McCreary of the Tribune.
And with Steve Bertrand and Eric Zorn and John Williams of the Mincing Rascals podcast on WGNplus.com.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take a quick break and then some news from Steve. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.